Well, good morning. We are in the Blessed series, which is an initiative by the Covenant Church. They decided that, you know, we need to find new ways to engage our community, and one of those ways we can do that is by blessing each other. And so today, I'm talking about eating, my favorite topic. If those of you who know me, I carry blessings of bread and baked cookies, and this week, me and the Cannon girls baked 50 dozen cookies for the bake sale next week. I think they're in Karen's car. Yeah. But, you know, I grew up in a home where there was always a family meal. We ate together. We grew a half-acre garden. We fed the neighborhood. Our home was always open. You could just walk right in. You know, I learned how to cook and to sew and to bake and all of those domestic skills. And I often have wondered, you know, I can do these things so well, how do they pair with ministry? And now I'm realizing that all of that was training for ministry. And so as I look at the world today, I see a need for these skills that I have. And if you can do bake and cook and sew and all those things, the world desperately needs your skills too. Sharing a meal together on a regular basis is one of the most sacred practices we can engage in as believers. Through the simple act of eating together, we practice hospitality, we build community, and we deepen relationships. The Christian church is communal, and it is our sacred ritual to eat together. Have you ever thought about that? Of all the things we could do as a religious institution, we eat. I love it. Yeah, we get baptized, we wash up, and we go eat, you know. But we are so blessed because God loves us. He gives us a meal. He gives us food. And today I'm going to challenge us, including myself, to take this sacred meal home and to share it with our neighbors and our friends, our loved ones, our enemies, and strangers. When we entertain each other, we seek to gain a favor, but hospitality gives without expectation of repayment. And the gospel is God's gift to us. It is hospitality to us, God's hospitality. God loved us, so he sent his son into the world, not to condemn us, but to save us. And he fed us. God's most basic grace to this world, to humanity, is food, to keep us living, to keep us going. In spite of our sinful selves, you know, that the way we treat each other, God continues to feed us. And we cannot thrive without companionship, love. Without Jesus Christ, we have no hope. And Jesus told us all, he says, "A new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you." So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Jesus calls us to bless each other, and he will bless us. So when we eat together, we share a meal, share time, we are doing the work of Jesus. And it is the most opportune time to share the gospel of Jesus. You know, it is just this gift we give. So our story today is from Matthew 15, 29 through 39. So Jesus left there and he went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on the mountainside and he sat down. And great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet. And he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they praised the God of Israel. You know, Jesus often went into the wilderness to get away from the crowds. You know, it was just overbearing at times. But he had become so popular that people were chasing him down. And as they did, they expected something from him. So he was in the midst of hospitality, in the depths of it, you know, in the hard places with the sick and the poor and the lame. But he just kept going, knowing that God would sustain him. So Jesus called his disciples, and he said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me for 3 days, and they have nothing to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry, or they will collapse on the way." His disciples answered, "Where can we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd?" "Well, how many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Seven," they replied, "and a few fish." That was in Alaska. We got to go fishing. I do too. It's a great picture. So can you imagine? They were in the wilderness for 3 days. They had gone to the point of no return. If they were to leave then, they would not have enough strength to make it home. And Jesus telling his disciples, he goes, "Well, you feed them." They had fed 5,000 before. Jesus says, "It's your turn, you feed them." And they said, "Well, all we've got are 7 baskets and a few fish." If they were to have gone to town, the little villages around there were small. There would not have been enough food to feed everyone. You know, they were in a predicament. And if they would have gone to town, that little village probably would not have opened their storehouses to feed them. That was their food. You know, it was overwhelming. In ancient times, the kings would go out raiding in the spring, and Alfred wondered why. That was the time people were hungry. You know, the crops weren't coming in yet. You know, the storehouses were low. If it had been a bad year before, they were starving. And so each village would go out and they would raid the next village and take their food. And Jesus told his people, the Israelites, and he told Abraham, he said, "If you will open your storehouse, if you will bless people, I will bless you so that you can bless them even more." That was an audacious statement. Open your storehouse and feed them. You know, can you imagine an army coming along? And we just open up and say, "Come on in. The food's ready." You know, what would they think? You know, that causes us to trust God. You know, that's a huge expectation on our part. You know, God, will you provide 100%? And I think the answer is yes, he will, because he's promised he will. So Jesus invited the disciples to join him in this miracle of multiplying the bread. "Share what you have. There will be enough. Let's see what happens." So Jesus told the crowd to sit down on the ground, and then he took the 7 loaves and the fish. And when he had given thanks, he broke them, and he gave them to the disciples. And they in turn to the people. They ate and they were satisfied. And afterward, the disciples picked up 7 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was 4,000 men, besides women and children. And after Jesus had sent the crowd away, he got into the boat, and he went to this vicinity of Magdan. So when Jesus broke the bread and blessed the fish, that was the same language as the Lord's Supper. He broke bread and he gave it to them. And the interesting thing is, there was enough. There was enough to fill them up, and there was enough to get them safely home. Hospitality draws from God's resources of gratitude. We trusting in God that he will supply what is needed for the work he calls his people to do. And I have learned that God does supply, but we must wait upon him. And the challenge for us is to share in times when it is lean. When we don't have enough time, when we don't have enough room, and we don't have enough resources. If we offer what we have and ask God to fill the basket, he will. So what does this look like for us today? Well, I have this story. My sister and her husband were pastors in Jerome, Idaho many years ago. And it was Halloween. And so the church had decided that they were going to have a harvest party. You know, churches don't have Halloween parties. Well, that night, it had snowed, and the temperature dropped to 6 degrees below. Yeah. So they had rented this bouncy castle, and everybody had made food, you know, the church, enough for their church. So they decided that they would unbolt all the pews, and they pushed them out of the way, and they decided to set up the bouncy castle in the sanctuary. You know, and you know, for some people, you know, that's just wrong, you know. So the lights are on, you drive by the church, you see this bouncy castle, you know, and before long, people started showing up. That looked like more fun than in trick-or-treating in 60-degree weather, you know. So they all come in, and my sister had cooked a pot of chili. Now, I know this chili pot. There is not 100 servings in this pot, you know. And she had cooked only a half a pot, expecting to feed about 40 people, you know. So everybody's in line, and she starts scooping chili. And she keeps scooping and scooping and scooping. And her friend Nikki is looking at her like, where's this coming from? And she just kept scooping, and the line kept going, you know. And there's kids bouncing in the bouncy castle, you know. It's loud and noisy, and they're having fun. And she just kept scooping. And when she was done, after this was all over, they went back in, and they dug all the bowls out of the trash. They fed 140 people with that pot of chili. Yeah. God does provide, and he provides abundantly. And he provides enough. And he does it because he loves us. You know, so when we are willing to give up what we have, offer it to God, he will bless it. You know, he blessed that bouncy castle. And, you know, every time I tell this story, I just know that God is just, I just hear him laughing. Oh, that was the best one yet, you know. It's Halloween. All the little goblins are inside, you know, bouncing and having fun and enjoying, you know, what I have to offer. And, you know, their church grew. They made new friends. Their community was strengthened. Because it got cold and they offered what they had to God. So eating together also builds relationships. And this is kind of one of my favorite parts. I'm always, I preach this reverently. I love getting people together to eat, and I don't get to do it often enough. But whenever I teach cooking classes and baking classes, we always sit down together and we hold hands, give thanks, set a table, and we eat together, because I think it is so important. what's at stake if we don't do this? You know, I know you guys are busy and you're thinking, I don't have time to do a family meal every week. I don't have time to invite people over. You know, what's at stake? Our families are at stake. Our community is at stake. Society is at stake. Eating together, interestingly, underpins everything, because it is where we learn to be in relationship with each other. We learn to share. We learn to care for each other. Eating together, interestingly, listen to this, decreases drug and alcohol abuse. It decreases eating orders and obesity. Children are more emotionally stable. Asthmatic kids are less likely to go to the hospital. Children are connected to extended families, their heritage, their community. Children are more resilient. Eating a well-balanced meal strengthens your body. Children learn to talk and read earlier through social interaction with adults. Eating together anchors kids in this world. Eating together prevents dementia, loneliness. It'll stem the tide of suicide, depression. Eating together causes us to thrive. Yet, we as a society today are suffering because we have forgotten the importance of eating together. Jesus knew what we needed. We need each other. We need nourishment, and we need grace. Eating meals together nourishes our body, and it nourishes our soul. And Jesus knew that. And that's why he gave us this wonderful sacred ritual of eating together. He knew what we needed. Our relationships are struggling in a world of technology and of individualism. You know, I see kids, groups of kids together on their phones. They don't know how to talk to each other. You know, and one day soon, I read one article that said, one day soon, the church's work will be to teach people how to be in families. Can you imagine? That's our work ahead. We can practice today. We can be prepared, you know, and we can stop it in our own community by eating together. There are so many opportunities to share the gospel, and all it takes is setting a table. I know some of you have learned some of the different ways to preach the gospel, but have you ever been around someone who's preaching the gospel to you, and it feels cold and it feels empty? You know, and you're thinking, but I am a Christian. Why does this feel so odd and so foreign? It's because it doesn't come with the gift. The gift of yourself, of sharing and giving. Food and the gospel, preaching the gospel, just kind of naturally go together. Eating is our most sacred practice, and it binds us together, you know, like a web, like a trampoline, like a bouncy castle, you know? We catch each other, you know, when we gather together to eat in our homes. You know, even if it's peanut butter, jelly sandwiches, and chicken soup, something so simple, you know, we will know when someone's hungry and don't have enough. We will see when our friends are struggling and they're lonely, you know. We can invite our elders over, you know, and support them. It supports us, you know. It always amazes me when I talk about this, how important it is and how wonderful it is, you know. So. And if you don't know how to cook, you know, just come see me. I teach cooking classes. I would love to teach you this. I never imagined how eating and all these things would weave together into ministry, you know. But God knew what he was doing. So in your bulletin, everybody pull your bulletin out. In your bulletin, there is the recipe for the never-ending chili. And I hope it does. I hope it never ends for you, really. I hope you get to experience that. So my challenge for you today is, as I set the table for communion, I want you to look on the back. I want you to think of people and write their names down and set a date. And you're going to have them over. And you're going to start the tradition of eating together at least once a week. And let's just see where this goes, okay? All right, so now I'm going to set the table for us, and we are going to move into a time of communion.